Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the LT Foods Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to LT Foods Q3 FY24 post-results earnings call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. On the call today, we have the management team being represented by Mr. Ashwani Kumar Arora, MD and CEO, Mr. Sachin Gupta, CFO, Ms. Monika Jadia, VP Finance and Strategy, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We will begin the call with key thoughts from the management team. Thereafter, we will open the floor for Q&A session. I would now like to request the management to share their perspective on the performance of the company. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Monika.
Thank you, Meet. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our quarter three and nine months financial year 2024 earnings conference call. Before we start with the question-answer session, I would like to highlight that certain statements made or discussed on the conference call today are forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. Results documents, including the presentation, all are available on the company's website and have also been uploaded on the stock exchange, and I'm sure all of you have read the same. A transcript of this call will also be made available on the investor section of the company's website. As we have uploaded all the documents, now we will open the floor for question-answer, please.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from SkyRidge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations on a good set of numbers and improvement in margins. So I think the first question would be, I think it would be on everyone's mind right now. Can you throw some light on the supply chain resiliency that we have, not just from India but also from Thailand, where we source our jasmine rice from? And with respect to jasmine rice, do we use the Pacific route, or do we use the Suez Canal only for exports to the U.S.? So can you just throw some light on the supply chain situation? Thank you.
Yeah. Good evening, Abhishek. This Red Sea issue is only one is supply from India and not from the and that is only to the East Coast of USA and Europe. That's the area where and somehow to some part of Saudi Arabia, which is Jeddah, where this interruption has happened. And the impact of this is it is not impacted to the West Coast of USA or supplies from Bangkok, so there is no issue on that. Regarding the impact of this is two impacts have happened. One is that the freight rate to the East Coast and Europe has gone up, so the shipping line has imposed emergency surcharge on that. And the other impact is the transit time has increased by 15 days. So that's the two impacts have happened with this disruption due to this Red Sea issue.
Okay. So, sir, a follow-up on that. So I think in last 2-3 years, this is the second time that you are facing a freight cost situation. So at the peak of container shortages during COVID, when the freight cost had gone up 6-7 times, are you seeing the cost moving up to that level, or is it still very, manageable at this point?
No, not to that level. At that time, the container rate has gone to, for example, USA, $10,000. So the shipping line has, surcharges like $1,400 per container they have imposed. So it's manageable. So there will not be any loss of sale because of disruption. So the only impact is cost, and we are evaluating on, pricing, how to pass on this impact. So the most critical and important is that, we should not have a loss of sale, so that is not there.
Oh, sir, that's good to hear, because we thought maybe, the customers on the other side might think, okay, let's delay the sales a little bit and see where the situation leads us.
Yes, sir. We are a FMCG consumer company. So it's not a kind of buyer-seller where, the delay can happen. So if you are not on the shelf, it's a loss of sale, and we understand this. So we are making sure that, as far as supply to consumer is, very stable, consistent.
That's great to hear. Sir, one last question before I get to the queue. For instance, we are not having any loss of sale, but at the same time, freight cost has not really moved up to a level, where we had seen during COVID times. So we might see some minor level of margin impact, but it should not be as severe as, margins going down to 10%.
No, no, no. You are right, Abhishek. You are right.
Very minor impact. So very minor.
Minor. Very minor, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll get back to the queue.
Thank you.
Amit Dixit.
The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, on the front of, there is an announcement in December that where we won that case, long pending case of that fire incident, and the court has granted in our favor, and there is a amount of some interest also which has been granted. So, post that announcement, is there any development whether, when are we expected to receive that amount? Or just to understand whether the insurance company can go further to the, higher courts or anything of that sort, if you can just throw some light on that.
Amit, so we have won the, in the first court, and the opposite party has the option to go to the higher court, so it's 60 days. So let's see, how they react, and we will come to know in the coming days that they appeal in the next court or not. But they have the option and right to go to the next court.
Okay. And in the meantime, do we receive any sort of amounts on, kind of, in the interim?
No, no. So unless and until they exhaust with the option. So we have not received any amount, so I can't comment further on that,
Okay. And the interest amount itself would come quite big, right? If I'm
Yeah. So, yeah.
Maybe in the range of 60, I think 70, 80 crore plus, right?
It's more than that.
Right.
Yeah. It's more than that, Yeah, so we, I think if we do the calculation, it is more than 250 something.
The total.
Oh, acha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
Okay.
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Fine. In terms of, sir, the exports which have been banned for non-Basmati, do you see so there are two parts to it. A, in terms of price impact to the Basmati, which I understand last time you had said no, But even post that, is there any change? And B, in terms of what we read in the articles, etc., now the gap between the prices is slightly reducing. So are you witnessing any shift in the demand from probably non-basmati to basmati and owing to its non-availability as well as the price rise? So if you can answer on both front.
The category is moving to, from non-basmati to basmati. But that's a routine, if you have seen historically, the basmati consumption has grown in a volume term 6 to 7%. And as per Euromonitor also, this is the only premium grain where the consumption is growing. If you say the total consumption globally is around 500 million ton and basmati is just around 10 million ton consumption. So we expect, this category to grow. But answering to your question, is pricing makes difference, if non-basmati goes either, then the basmati consumption goes. So that is, we have not seen that. We have seen that, there is a big difference in non-basmati prices and basmati. So normally people, as income grow, they wanted to, have a better food. So they are moving to basmati, India and across the globe here.
Fair enough, fair enough. And sir, in terms of this ready-to-eat category, so have we expanded anything? Are we, because I think we were almost on the full capacity last time we discussed. So anything on that, whether it is kappa rice or whether it is snacks or whether it is any ready-to-eat category. So anything on that?
We have seen in the presentation, our this ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook business is growing in 23%. And we are optimistic about that. We have four products at the moment, which is, one is, Heat and Eat, which is in USA. Then in India we have, and actually globally, ready to, cook, this biryani kit and kappa rice. And especially in biryani kit, we are getting a good response. And in the rice snacks also, we have, changed our communication strategy a little bit, and we have changed some, the product portfolio also, and we are getting the good response in the rice snacks also. So all the four things are reasonably, doing well.
Yeah.
And we expect that, it will grow.
My question was more on the capacity and any capex in terms of increasing.
Capacity, we have already increased the RTH capacity, and next year is not in the agenda.
Okay,
already,
currently we have already expanded and we are far ahead, low from the optimum capacity.
Ji.
Okay. And last question, sir, on the dividend front, so it's good that last, you expanded your dividend policy from standalone profits to consolidated profits. But since last couple of years, we have been receiving on an interim front. So in this, till this date, we have not announced any interim dividend. So again, is there any change in thought process in terms of?
There is no change in the thought process. Whatever, we have said, on the consolidated, we will distribute 10 to 20% of the net income.
Okay. No, so not announced in the interim, so that is the...
So I think that's a some statute, they wanted to do in a, final division.
That will be done in the final one.
Yeah.
We will be doing in the final.
Okay,
yes.
So no interim, only the final.
So whatever the guidance
was given. There will be two dividend in a year. One will be interim and one will be final.
Okay.
Interim
so will
we have given last quarter. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We'll join in the queue.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Amit Jaswani from Stallion Assets. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, I've got two questions. First question's on our guidance of 20% ROE for FY24. First of all, for FY25, sorry. So are we on track for that? Because we'll have to do about 730 crores PAT next year to achieve that. That is a back-of-the-envelope calculation, of course.
So the return on equity has already moved up, you know. So it is 18.7, and the return on equity is 20.3. So we are already moving to that goal. So whatever, you know, I think, we have set up a goal for 20% return on equity, so we are not far from there.
Right. So my other question's about, since we are generating a lot of cash flows, and lately, sir, there's been deal about Capital Foods got acquired at 5,500 crores. Organic India got acquired at 2,000 crores. Our market cap, after 70 years of being in existence, having Big Four as our auditors, now being market leaders in rice, is nowhere close to, like, I still don't... I'm like, when the stock price was 110-120, I used to ask you that, "Why are you not doing buybacks?" And, that same question I asked at 200 also, and now you have proof of concept also that what, how does market value these consumer-facing food companies? Have you given a thought, that would increase the ROEs, of course, and have you given a thought of what if we do a 500 crore kind of buyback and reduce equity by 7-8%? Because I'm sure the market will start rewarding the stock in a very different way once that happens.
No, no, you're right, you know. So we keep on evaluating this. You know, the first goal was to reduce our, you know, this working capital borrowing. And, you know, now we are consistently, considerably, you know, lower our borrowing, which is now... So maybe, you know, next year, we will look into this. We are in a comfortable position, as far as our debt to EBITDA, so we will evaluate. We keep on evaluating all these things.
Because, sir, our total interest cost right now, our total interest cost is about 19 crores a quarter, right? And our PAT is 150 crores. So it'll be more efficient if we go for buybacks than reducing dividends, in my humble opinion, of course, if the valuations stay, which they do. My, sir, second question is on the Red Sea problem. Sir, if you can quantify what kind of impact are we seeing, would it be right to say that we are losing about 3 crores a quarter or 6 crores a quarter?
So the impact is roughly around this, you know. But as I said, you know, we are evaluating to, you know, to pricing strategy, how to compensate or, you know. So we are still evaluating, is it a short term, is it a long term? So maybe, you know, in the next month, we will, you know, decide our pricing strategy. But the impact is, as you said, is roughly 4 crore rupees per month.
4 crores a month. So, sir, if you increase prices by 0.5% also, shouldn't that be more than easy to get it done? Why so much time in increasing prices by 0.5%?
No, no, you know, as you know, we are a, you know, FMCG consumer-facing business, so it is not a kind of commodity where tomorrow you increase and next day you decrease. You know, it doesn't happen. So we are evaluating that, we are talking to shipping lines, you know, how long it will go. If it is a 2-3-month phenomenon, then the, maybe, you know, the strategy will be different. If it is a something long run, then the strategy will be different. So, you know, this has just happened, you know, in this month only, in January first, you know, we have seen, starting seeing the impact. We are waiting for a month, how it, you know, evolves.
Right, sir.
Answering your question, you know, we have seen historically, you know, if the cost has increased, we are able to pass on to the consumer and, without having an impact on the growth of the business.
exactly my point, sir. That is very easy. So a fair call, sir. So PBT impact, which is at 204 crore PBT, there's a possibility that if we don't pass on prices, we'll have a 12 crore kind of impact as of today, right, sir?
So, it will not be in this quarter because we always had a inventory in hand in our, you know, the destination. So the impact will start from the next, you know, next year, first quarter.
Well, I'm sure by then you can increase prices also.
So we'll look into that, yeah.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. So we are clear on buyback. We are clear on, sir, and the growth should be, what kind of growth do we expect for Q4?
So on a full year basis, we are expecting double digit, which is, you know, roughly 9 to 10% growth on full year basis.
And that's by volume or value, sir? Combined, you're saying?
Value.
So you've ever thought of divesting some stake in, giving some stake to these private equity companies for our organic business, sir? Like the healthy business, because that is where the high growth is there. And because that will unlock some valuation potential. I'm not speaking about the India Daawat business. I'm speaking only about the organic business, because that is a business which will grow at very fast rates. And the kind of valuations where we trade versus where the markets are valuing it, it's a very large difference, sir. And I keep thinking and keep asking the team that why does Daawat get such a low valuation, given the kind of business that you have.
I agree with you. But on the organic company, so the answer is that, you know, we are not evaluating. There is already in that company, Rabo Equity has invested in that roughly 3-4 years back. At the moment, we don't need any kind of, you know, money. So we are not evaluating any investment, private equity investment in the company already. We are sitting
there. We should get about 250 crores from the insurance. When should we, if they don't go to the higher court, if the insurance company doesn't go to the higher court, we should receive the insurance money by when? Because that will straight decrease our debt.
They have a 60 days from the order.
So, sir, that is, we finished about 45 days, if I'm right?
No. I think we have just finished in, I think, 20 days. Because, you know, there is a technical clause, you know, from the certified copy, true copy. So, the day starts 60 days from there.
Got it. Yeah. So, if that 250 crore comes in, we don't have to pay any taxes on that. That straight goes to decrease our debt and our interest cost goes down by 20 crores, right?
So tax, you know, 250 crore, then in our books, you know, the outstanding is 136 crore. So the rest of the amount, we have to pay the tax.
Got it.
But a substantial amount, you know, that will further reduce the whatever the borrowing is.
Got it, sir. Done, sir. Thank you. My best wishes, Arora-ji.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we request participants to please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations, sir, for a very good set of numbers. So, sir, in earlier presentations, we used to share the tonnage from each region, tonnage and sales. So, is it possible to share the tonnage and value from each region, sir?
Volume data.
So, it is not in the presentation you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, you can email to us. We will definitely share with you. Not an issue.
And sir, regarding buyback, is there any threshold in your mind for the debt? Once it falls below that particular level, then only you will consider buyback, means 1,000 crores or 800 crores. So do you have any debt level in the mind?
that's a good question. You know, we want that, you know, unless I think debt EBITDA 1 is a good number for us to, you know, but we are evaluating some growth opportunities. So the short answer is, you know, we don't want to increase our borrowing to debt EBITDA 1. And, you know, after that, whatever the surplus amount, either, you know, it will get into buyback or dividend, you know, that depends on the, at that time, we will evaluate.
And so lastly, our organic business is not doing well since last two, three quarters, if I remember correctly. So what are the steps we are going to take to make it grow again?
So actually, you know, for the last two quarters, you know, although you are seeing the degrowth against last year, but our organic business is doing very well. You know, we have got a, you know, that deficit of 200 crore from the soya anti-dumping duty, but we have filled it up with other products. So that's more stable. So what we say that, you know, our organic business has become very robust, and from the next financial year, you will start seeing the growth in the business. So actually, you know, soya was big business, commoditized in nature. So, you know, it's a blessing in, I will say, disguise that, you know, now we have a more robust business.
By so, which product lines have replaced soya, sir?
So, so we have rice, we have, you know, this oil seed, lentil. So these are the line of product, you know, which has been grown for the strength in the business.
So next year we will see year-over-year growth, right, sir?
Yes, yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranodeep S. from MAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my question was with respect to the how has, so it's been a while since we've had the Salic deal, right? And LT Food, if I'm not wrong, used to do around 20,000 ton, whereas the Saudi Arabia market is around 1 million ton. If I'm not wrong, we were gunning for around 10% market share, which is around 1 lakh ton. So wanted to understand how have we progressed in our aspirations in the Saudi Arabia market.
So I don't know, from this 7,000 or 10%, that's the 10% is our growth aspiration. That's you know, true. And you know, these are, as I always said in all the calls, you know, it's not a short term thing, it's a medium to long term. And we are moving towards, you know, that we will soon see the, you know, good initiative in that market. By the way, you know, the Middle East market for us has grown by 44%, you know, till in 9 months. So we have, you know, quite active in Middle East market overall, and we are getting good response. We are investing in behind the consumer. So that's been being rewarded, and that's where, you know, our 40% growth is coming.
Great to hear that, sir.
Yeah.
So my next question was with respect to, so overall we have three revenue streams, so like specialty basmati rice, organic, and processed packaged foods, right? Where, if I'm not wrong, Dawat and Royal being around 70% of the business. So what is our school of thought in terms of developing mega brands, right, within the brand, right? So Dawat and Royal are strong brands. So is there a school of thought of developing bigger brands in the organic and processed packaged foods? Just to draw a parallel, like how ITC started a couple of years ago, right? Now they have 6 mega brands of each 1,000 crore plus, right? Which is driving the growth. So what are our school of thought in this aspect?
So as far as, you know, this, ready to eat and ready to cook, we are extending our brand equity, which is Daawat and Royal. And that's the, one strategy to grow our business in that segment. On the organic, as organic company, the business is more to B2B, and we wanted to focus on B2B. But having said that, we are, extending our organic portfolio in the Royal brand, and we will start soon in the, Daawat. But as a Nature Bio food company, they will keep focusing on, a quality B2B business.
Okay, fair point. And if I can just squeeze in one last question, sir. So India business happens to be in around 30% of the total business, but I understand it's growing at 20%, as against 20% of the overall company. In the long term, how do you see the contribution of India versus rest of the world shaping out, sir?
So slowly, India contribution will grow up. As India market is growing faster than the global consumption. So in the long run, medium to long run, we see India's contribution will improve to the, so this I'm talking about in the basmati segment. It will grow. We never know that, if we do some inorganic growth. So in overall, it may change accordingly. But to the specialty rice, we see, the overall India contribution changes to the highest side, yeah.
When you say highest side, sir, can you quantify that? Like around what kind of numbers?
So, right now it's a 30%. So, for example, we are expecting the international growth, around 8 to 10%, whereas, India 15%. So proportionately it will improve. So I have not done the math, but yeah.
Okay, sure. Fair enough, sir. Thank you, and all the best for the upcoming quarters.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. To ask questions, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Vincent Andrews from Geojit Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the good, consistent, good set of numbers. And I have a couple of questions. The first one is related to Golden Star. So you, in last con call, you had mentioned about 50% further stake in the company. In June 2025, you mentioned, am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So, see, in the current accounting method is to, our sales does not include this Golden Star revenue, right?
GV.
Yes, JV. Revenue is not included. Oh. Only the profit is this. Yeah.
Only profit is added. Okay. So can you please share, complete my model, so can you please share the 9-month revenue as well as the profit for this?
So 9-month revenue is 58 million.
Okay.
And profit is 9 million. It's all dollar,
It's all dollar, okay, right.
Yeah.
So, so how much you expect in FY24, rough?
Sorry?
In FY24, how much you expect?
Yeah. This is a three quarter, so you can calculate, yeah.
Understood, thank you. And the second one Second question is, BOD has approved 500 crore fundraising. So the purpose for that?
I could not get that question. What do you say? 500 crore?
500 crore fundraising through commercial paper the BOD has approved.
Oh, okay.
It is an alternative source of funding which we aspire to raise in the coming future. So our overall borrowings won't go up. It is just an alternative source of funding which we think to achieve in the coming quarter.
Okay. Thanks for that. And, sir, I will come back in the queue. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Well, that was the last question in queue. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Thank you so much for joining and look forward to see you in the next conference quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.